And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partner is Physical Athletics. Make sure you check them out. You can check them out on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's singular athletic, and it's also spelled F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L. You can also check them out on their website at physicalathletics.com. For those of you local in El Paso, you can also check them out at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard. My next guest joining us on the Sun City Academy hotline, he is the director of coaching for FC Premier Texas. FC Premier is got a pretty great story coming out of originated in California. And now this the FC Premier Texas chapter affiliate, I should say, is the first and only one officially in Texas. And that looks like it might change in the future. But our director of coaching, their director, Paul Rosales, he joins us today. Coach Paul, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Hector. Appreciate that. One quick thing.
Yes.
So we do have a director of coaching. That's Mondo Alvarez. So I'm the director of FC Premier in Texas.
Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you.
That's okay. That's okay.
I appreciate you coming on my show and correcting me. That's always awesome. I appreciate that. Yes. Yeah, so the director, I almost slipped up and said, well, technically executive director, right?
Well, yeah, no, our executive directors in California. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I almost said that. So yeah. So our director of FC Premier Texas here, based out of El Paso, Coach Paul Rosales. So coach, let's dive right in. Tell me what it's been like managing the club during COVID. Obviously players, parents, coaches, what's it been like now 10 months into the pandemic?
Wow. It's a great question. You know, when this originally started back in March, we had played one game, I think, as a club. And then as soon as we caught wind of this, this was so brand new to everyone, right? So what we immediately thought the best thing to do was, hey, we've never lived through a pandemic. We, you know, one of the things that we teach in the club is patience. So we thought, how do we take a very patient, safe approach? We put the members of the club in front of us and said, the best thing to do is to shut this down. And so there were games going on. There were training sessions going on. And we made a decision early on to go ahead and stop, you know, stop with the fees, all that stuff. And of course, not knowing, but fortunately, my spouse, who is in the medical field, really, really, you know, brought us up to speed on what was going on and how we were going to move forward. And then I kind of got put in charge of this whole COVID operation for both California and Texas. And so we had multiple calls with our executive director, Dave Sabet, and we came up with a return to play. And so, you know, Hector, a lot of Zoom calls early on, right? Zoom trainings. We had some fun guest speakers, some that played professionally, some D1 college coaches, you know, providing kids just something different. You know, we had a little high school segment and we brought you in to go ahead and kind of dispel those myths between high school and club. And, you know, we provided that, but then we realized, wow, there's only so much of this COVID Zoom stuff that we can do for the girls and boys because they're a little tired of it. So, I really had to take a step back. And frankly, there was never that right time to get back into it over the summer, okay? I did at the time take a couple of trips to California to work closely with the club there. And they were at a different stage at that time. And, you know, we started up in maybe September, we decided to try and do some morning sessions for the girls and boys, you know, small ones with social distancing and play. And when this uptick started again, we said, well, it's time to pull the plug again. You know, Hector, it's been a little, I would say maybe 10%, maybe 15% of the parents were maybe not on board with what we were doing, but it was very few of them that were. They wanted to play right away. We just thought, where? You know, so that patience that we teach as coaching and that we want to see in our players, we're just taking that approach now. And so where we are today is now we're trying to find a time and place to get back to practicing legally. And as of now, there aren't fields that we can legally rent. Even in the high school level, we can't even secure the fields there. So we're being patient about it and just staying in communication with the parents through messages. And fortunately, we have a platform that we could use as training. So during this time, we've been fortunate enough to give the kids Corvid training that want to be a part of some sort of training. So that's how we've kind of managed it. Sit back, let's see what's going on. We consult with three doctors within the club. Okay, one of them is a coach, and they've been very instrumental. They've gotten on calls with our California partners, and they brought us up to speed on what's going on and some things to maybe do to help manage just your time as an individual through this, and giving us some safety tips and things like that, and things not to do, things to do. And it's really, really helped the health of the club, because it's actually given us a light at the end of the tunnel. And you think about what's going on in California, craziness, right?
Right.
Our most recent call was about 3 weeks ago with the California partners. And they left that call highly encouraged, knowing that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And so, you know, that's how we've been. So now we realize this. Well, A, we've been very patient. B, there's been clubs that maybe haven't been patient that have decided to get back to playing. So C, it brought about very unsatisfied players, upset parents, because they were going to participate in the tournament. Tournament's canceled. They want to play in a league. League's shut down. All kinds of things happening. So we do anticipate probably some kids coming to the club that we've never dealt with before in the past. And frankly, we got to see if it makes sense to, you know, we're very honest with them. Hey, look, might not be doing anything for a little while. Just so you know. So, and that's the fact, Hector, is we don't know. I mean, you don't know, I don't know. So we sit back and we try and do what's maybe safest right now. So that's where we're at.
Emphasis on safety. You can't, probably definitely the best answer, right? Absolutely. Don't fault you there. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm associated, unofficially with the club, I guess you could say, as a parent. I fall in that parent role right now, because, my daughter does play for your club. But I'll let you talk about that a little bit more. But I always like to be fully transparent with our players as well. So, and again, full disclosure as well, Coach Rosales, he was one of the last coaches I spoke with when I arrived in El Paso, when I was kind of trying to find a club for both of my daughters, really. And couldn't be more proud to be affiliated with your club, particularly because during this entire time, during the pandemic, what you and the coaching staff has done in terms of keeping the parents informed, trying to engage the players as best as possible, but with the emphasis first and foremost on the safety of all the student athletes, cannot thank you enough. So there's my endorsement there. There's my 2 cents.
Thank you.
But moving on. So one of the stories that I kind of find a bit fascinating is the kind of the genesis of FC Premier, originally in California. But more importantly, how did FC Premier Texas, how did it come to be for our listeners?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of talent out here, as you and I agree. And it just seemed like the same old styles of training going on. And we were part of it, and we were happy getting what we thought was good for our kids at the time. And, you know, in between there, through the great Corver coaching platform, you know, I used to take my daughter to different parts of the country to experience Corver, because I knew, hey, I want a player that knows how to control the ball as opposed to the ball controlling the player. So tried different factions of Corver, all of them great. But when I got to Southern California, here we are working with the executive director at the time. I didn't know, Dave Sabet. He runs Corver Orange County. And, you know, the training that we got, the style of play that we got, seeing that there's no differences between the kids there and here, but it's the training, it's the belief, it's the development of the individual. So I approached many clubs Strikers, had my daughter guest play with the Strikers. Wonderful club, big club, ECNL. They do a lot of great things. A lot of great things. Nothing bad to say about them. And it just, you know, I never thought in a million years that Coach Dave would want to listen to me. But there we are sitting out at Starbucks some years ago. And he says, do you want to do this FC Premier thing in Texas? I said, yeah. He goes, well, why us? I said, because you truly do believe in developing the individual. And everything that you say and how you lead the kids, you're very selfless. And if you're willing to take a risk on us doing this out in Texas, I would like to give it a go. And look, some of it, this much of it was financial. They conveniently don't charge, you know, much at all. And as you know, as a parent, we try and keep the cost as low as possible.
Absolutely.
Right. But they had a proven curriculum through Corver, because it's a Corver Partner Edge club, right? Developing the individual, giving that child the belief that they can become what they want to do. I said, you know what? I'm going to go back to Texas. I'm going to start talking to parents and say, hey, look, we're going to start this club. And, it, you know, just like anything else, it takes time and patience. And back in 2017, the first thing we ever did was we took a group of kids that said they wanted to play with us, and we took them to a Corver Cup. And these kids had never played together. We didn't have a keeper. And then now the keeper that we have, you'll say that she's probably one of the best you've ever seen. Absolutely. Lauren Rose, right? Yeah. So there we are out there playing against, you know, Strikers, Beach, things like that. And it was fun. And the club just really, really welcomed us. And they made a big deal about us in Texas. So when we got back to Texas, we had some people show up. And I stay true to this whole core platform and developing the individual and being patient and bringing on some good people that I know are just patient with kids. And we just started training, and every parent would always say, this is much different than things that I've ever been a part of. I've never seen these drills. And I'm thinking, oh, it's a shame. You know, Hector, not a selfish guy. And I believe my kids are fabulous players. And, you know, it could have been easy to say, well, I don't want to open up Corver to anyone else here. Well, you know what? No, we felt that the kids here in El Paso deserve something different to allow them to just try a different style. I'm not mocking any other club out there. There's a lot of fantastic clubs out here. I just wanted to do something different. And I wanted to give the kids a different platform. And I wanted them to feel comfortable with, hey, it truly is okay to make mistakes. And if you hear us quiet as coaches on the sidelines during games, it's because that's your time to shine and make decisions. And so all these things, how we complimented kids, how we corrected kids, it's the young lady, it's the you know, job well done, that style of speaking to them really made them just find a level of comfort. And some of the kids that have experienced other things outside of how we were teaching were just kind of, they would turn their head to be like, well, did coach really okay with me messing up? Oh yeah. You know, we're not telling them where to be, where to stand. You know, they we want them to start, self-discovery was big. So that's
joy, what joysticking, as they call it, right? Joysticking.
Yeah. Last thing we ever wanted to do was that. And one of the first coaches that I worked with, Coach Memo, said, Paul, that's just like the worst thing you can do for kids. Let's teach them to understand soccer. So we realized this, you know, we're going to provide like soccer driven solutions, right? Is what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to teach, you know, the seven how to play truly a seven and that's it. And the 11 and the eight, we wanted to teach soccer. So it didn't matter where you were on the field, you know, your understanding of where the ball was determined where you need to be or where you're, how you're defending. We just wanted to do things different. So yeah, that's how it came about. And I'm still excited today whenever someone asks me about it, because I could go on and on about this.
So entering year four, is that correct?
Yes.
Four? Awesome. That's great stuff. Being that you're our first club coach to join us here on the 50/50 podcast, didn't want to go into too much detail because there's so much still to be kind of determined. But I'm sure you're aware there was some breaking news that came down today from U.S. Youth Soccer about the announcement of them launching a Champions Cup Were you able to see that? And what were your kind of, what's your initial thoughts on that?
Well, I'm a very optimistic person by nature. I always try and find the good in things. And I do believe that there is the intent for this to be a good thing, to give opportunities for teams that maybe have not had the opportunities in the past, right? So, you know, I do believe that time will tell. I really, really do believe that. And I figure, hey, you know what? You want to be part of something, then prepare yourself for the possibilities that can happen. So I think that on paper, it looks great. And is it 2022 when they're thinking of starting this?
Correct. According to the press release today, it's supposed to launch August of 2022. So in theory, I mean, when you're factoring in state cups and everything, I guess, depending upon what this spring looks like, I guess that gives them about, I don't know, 15, 16 months to kind of tweak their selection criteria, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting because you look at the uncertainties that COVID's brought about and in our own environment locally in El Paso, we have no idea what's really going on with league play. But then we start looking for tournaments, right? And how are we considered competitive? How do we place in these tournaments really, really matter? You look at California right now, and just through the CSL, Cal South, the Discovery League, there is a lot of jockeying for positioning there on what league's going to do what and who's going to become what. And there's, you know, people are really laying it out there from all these leagues to say, hey, we got the better thing over here. Come over here, whatever the case is. You know, that is when things start becoming a little scary. So trying to sit down as a club amongst as directors and say, hey, how are we going to move forward and what league is it we're going to play in? That's you know, how does this tie into it? Well, we don't know, but the optimistic approach is, I think, best to take, because I do believe that the majority of people that decide to embark on journeys together do it for the right reasons. And I hope that they stay the course, and I hope they start figuring this out. So that's my thought.
Right. No, of course. I mean, there's still so much up in the air, so much speculation. But yeah, that's a really good point. And in kind of alluding to that or transitioning to that a little bit, kind of going back to COVID a little bit and locally in both El Paso and Texas, particularly maybe more El Paso, the Borderland region, what's your assessment of kind of pre-COVID, during COVID? Well, not so much during, because I think you've kind of already hit on that, but pre and most importantly, post-COVID, what's your assessment of the club game in Texas and particularly maybe in this region?
So in this region, it's been very dormant, right? So how do we move forward? You know, there's talk of league folding and teaming up with PDN or PDN running everything in the city, which could be good, you know, who knows. But, you know, pre-COVID,
for our listeners, can you clarify PDN?
Yeah, there's three leagues in El Paso, right? There's the El Paso Classic League, and there's the Paseo del Norte League, which is on the east side. And then there's a Northeast Soccer League. Okay, Northeast and El Paso Classic work together primarily, and then PDN typically operates by itself. So there's talk about them kind of taking over the club. No, I'm sorry, taking over the soccer league in El Paso, which, okay. But pre-COVID, we had big plans, and you know that. And we were taking one team in particular, and they were actually going to play league play in Austin, right? So this past fall, they were to have competed in the WDDOA league, and they were accepted in there. And we were expanding into Austin with the FC Premier, and things were looking great. And we had these great ideas on the things that we were going to do, working with the local clubs, particularly Surf, and his name's Dave, their director, and creating a league for grassroots league, an approved grassroots league, where we were going to just team as FC Premier and Surf, and we were going to have a director of coaching for each grassroots youth soccer program. And then we would once a week play, you know, one away, one home game. We would do parental education. We'd have a meeting. We were so excited about, hey, what we're going to do. We're going to teach parents about, hey, this soccer should be fun. We don't want kids quitting. And there's many reasons why they quit. It should be fun. And so we were talking about even creating a league between El Paso, Las Cruces, Albuquerque, and Tucson, right? To create a highly competitive environment. Well, then COVID hits, right? So I just told you all about COVID. So right. Now post COVID, we're a little, we're sitting back and we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we move forward? We're not going to give up the opportunities for the kids that want to play at a higher level to play in Austin. We're not doing that. The club, FC Premier, partnered up with the SoCal Blues. You look up that club online, you'll see it's probably maybe the fourth best club, considered the fourth best club in the United States, right? So we've had some of our girls already guest play for the SoCal Blues. And one of them is my daughter. She actually plays for a SoCal Blues team. She's on their roster. Okay. But we wanted to give these kids some opportunities. All right. So we went out there and played some games in Phoenix and had some fun. And then, you know, trying to figure out, well, what's going on? Well, you know, we're going back to California, but we can't practice. You know, we come to El Paso, you can't practice. So we're sitting here trying to think, okay, what's the next best thing? Well, it's kind of hard to talk about post-COVID, Hector, because I just don't know when we're going to get there. And so what we're just planning to do is making sure that we continually challenge the kids a little differently. You know, we refer to our athletes as student athletes, right? The little ones all the way to the older ones, right? Right. They understand the importance of school. So it's got to be a little more Zoom. It's got to be different speakers that we recently had. We recently had a high level conversation about overtraining and what a lot of clubs do wrong and why we are trying to do things different for the longevity of the child, right? So post-COVID, that's a tough one. I can't honestly say that I got the best answer, but I do know that with our patience that we have, with the staying in contact with the parents, they know what we're trying to do. Looks like we're going to be playing some tournaments is what the plan is later in the year. I'm sorry, later in spring, maybe into summer, right? And then prepare ourselves for that team to play specifically in Austin over the fall, and for the other teams to play locally. That's what we're going to do. And we're not going to lose sight of our opportunity to grow, because one of the other things that we were doing was we were looking at a facility in downtown El Paso. It was like 20,000 square feet. It was just a great opportunity for us to say, hey, look, here's our training grounds, right? You know, we're going to continue with our licensing as coaches. We're going to do all these things, because the goal was to try to move into the ECNL. An application for ECNL was the goal of the club. And as a club in whole with California and us, it still is a goal. The club applied for NPL earlier or late to 2020. Okay. Never heard anything on the application status. Well, it's because the league play in California got all convoluted and NPL kind of joined up with the discovery, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, I guess there's no more NPL. But the next step from there was, okay, who's going to get into ECNL? How are we going to do this if we want to? And it's always been, do we want to do it or not? And the reasons why I know our executive director has always chosen not to is that he at the time didn't believe that it was the right path for the kids. He didn't want to destroy the child's dream that wanted to represent their high school and not be allowed to play, you know? So he had his reasons at the time not to. So post-COVID, long-winded answer there, buddy, but that's kind of where my head is.
No, that's great stuff. That's great stuff, Coach. And kind of set me up for my next question. You mentioned Dave and his thoughts as far as not trying to kill the kids' dream to play for their high school, you know, for their local community. So, and that's kind of what I wanted to hit on next is, what are maybe, whether it be you personally as, you know, Paul Rosales, FC Premier Texas, and FC Premier at large, including California. But what are the thoughts on kind of on the high school game and also balancing it with club? And then again, both you and I, of course.
Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Both you and I have also daughters that are rapidly approaching high school. So what are your thoughts on the high school game and balancing it with club?
Well, look, first of all, I look over straight at you and I think, yeah, there's quality coaches in high school by far, you know, that are just ultra qualified. And if we ever as a country got it right, high school's got everything we need to catapult kids to where they need to go. But in our country, this is a money-making business, right?
Correct. Yeah.
It is. So that gets in the way. That gets in the way. And so there's really no clear-cut paths, especially for women. There's not. There. I don't care who says what. There's not a clear-cut path for them, right? To go play professionally. I don't care. LAFC or LA Galaxy, they can't figure it out, you know? So high school is a really, really big deal. So our executive director is the head coach at St. John Bosco High School. Number one football team in the country at times. They had the top soccer team in the country too, right? He's been there for years. And he's a visionary. I mean, he believes that having that child represent their high school is a really big deal. And that's kind of what withheld them from saying, hey, I don't want to go do ECNL. Okay, because if we do that, we're gonna have to tell kids our club takes precedence over the high school. So I'm a firm believer, like I'm talking to our older kids that are in high school now, and I'm saying this, best of luck in your high school season. You know, we will not do anything to interfere with that because we do believe that if you gotta have pride. If you have pride playing for your high school and represent, let's make it a memorable experience. Okay, now, I'm sure someone could easily call in and say, well, you're not giving them the opportunity that they need to excel if they want to go play D1 soccer. Well, not everyone does. Okay. But you got a lot of girls that want to play. But I look no further than you. You've taken a school that isn't traditionally known for producing college athletes. And all of a sudden, within your first year, you're getting a bunch of offers submitted, you know, from these girls. And you understand why and how it is you're doing it. And I feel there is a place for that. And I feel it's better that we sit down collectively as directors of clubs and work with the high school coaches to figure out what's in the best interest of the individual. Because I'm sorry, training 12 months a year is not in the best interest of an individual.
Correct.
That creates injury. Doing the same repetitive movements, that's not good. So that's the scary piece. So there's a lot more to be determined, but I do believe that trying to figure out how to work with the high school, I'm a supporter of it. Let me be clear. I'm a supporter of girls playing high school soccer, boys playing high school soccer. I do believe that as a club director, I need to work closely with the high school coaches so they understand that. Never there to get in the way, only there to provide help and assistance. I don't care if it's a private school or public school. I'm a firm believer in it.
Right. That's well said. Extremely well said. You know, there's a couple of things that you mentioned there, and it kind of triggered some thoughts about. So this past week was the United Soccer Coaches digital convention. And I was kind of going in and out and kind of playing catch up, listening to different clips. And in one of them, the director of coaching education for United Soccer Coaches, Ian Barker, a gentleman who I know personally, he hit on that. He was talking about the importance of the high school game and kind of how we need to do it differently in this country. And you mentioned that, and, you know, he talked about how special it actually is and how that can be, if restructured and reconstructed a little bit, maybe how the high school game in this country is actually a strength that's not utilized properly, because where else can a student athlete, a teenager, play for their community, play for their school, wear their colors in front of their peers, in front of their, you know, their classmates, twice a week, Friday nights, Friday night lights, whatever you want to call it. Right. And in front of, you know, 300, 400, 500 people versus or more versus, you know, what you typically oftentimes see at a lot of club games, right. Where it's nowhere near that. So I think it was pretty fascinating when you start hearing that from someone that's as experienced, as credentialed as him, that's kind of saying something. And you hit on a lot of that same stuff. So that's really good. So as we transition here, Coach, question I have for you now is, And you've alluded to it a little bit, not so much in the short term, but I guess maybe the long term, well past the immediate post-COVID period. What can we expect from FC Premier in the coming future?
Well, the continuation of developing the kit. Well, let me also state that one of the biggest goals that we have this year is that everyone's always talking about developing the individual, right? Or they talk about it, but people wind up developing the team. Let's be honest, right? Because they want to win and maybe feel a little comfortable on the amount of dues that they're charging. I don't know. But, you know, developing the individual has always been a goal of ours. And I do believe we've stayed firm with that. But it's coach development. I'm not just talking about licensing. Licensing is a big part. There's a few coaches within our club that did some Barcelona training. I'm one of them. And it's great. But we're talking about getting to understand like the why. Why do you coach? Hector, why do you coach? You know, when Dave interviews anyone, why? What's in it for you? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Can you see yourself doing this in the future? So, you know, we're starting a book club for coaches within FC Premier of California, Texas. And the first book that we're passing around, by the way, is My Turn, right? Johan Cruyff. And I've great book, right? Lot to learn from that. And just really trying to get our minds to open up and our thought processes to open up. And mine's digital. Yeah. Mine's digital. Oh, now you're going to knock everything over by bragging there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no. Fast move.
Yeah, it was. But coaching development is going to be key because we do believe that, hey, you can be credentialed and licensed, but can you work with kids? Can you truly work with kids? And you got to ask yourself that, right? So we don't just hire anyone. We go through a nice interview process and we were pretty clear about the expectation. And if we feel that the fit isn't right, then we have the uncomfortable conversation and say thank you for your services. But that's what you're going to see out of FC Premier this year is you're going to see a lot of coach development. Therefore, that directly correlates with the player development. I think another exciting thing is just there's so many things that we get as a core of a partner edge club. And a lot of people don't know that that's open to any club that wants to be a part of Corver, they can get a part of it. But we get to work from individuals from around the world. Stop and think about it. We're talking about a curriculum that is used by every national team in the world, minus the US.
I was going to say, there's one that I know of that doesn't use it.
Yeah, minus the US, right? And so what does it mean? So we've worked with directors of coaching from France, things like that, national team, things like that. And it's been great because we know that what it is that we're doing here, they're doing there. And then we started realizing, okay, development of the individual, key, it's essential, understanding the acumen of the game is a really, really important thing. So now we have kids that are of age, we feel that they need to understand the game more, all right? You've taught me so much. I didn't know that if 10 girls wanted to go to college and only three are going to follow through. And, you know, girls don't watch soccer games. Boys do, you know, like how do we break these, I don't know, myths or whatever the case is. So I'm really getting down to where is it that you want to be as a coach? Where is it that we want to take the club? What direction do we want to go is what we're thinking. And the direction that we want to go is we want to give kids the opportunity to play in college. So we're speaking specifically to individuals like you to provide some insight and guidance. We're working with two of the coaches in our club, our head coaches in college in California. Okay, and these two are jonesing to get down to Texas because they want to try barbecue. I can't lie to them and say we got the best barbecue here in El Paso. I got to take them to Austin.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to go a few hours maybe east.
Yeah, you and I know that, but there's a few of us that know how to smoke foods. Right. But, you know, so when you have California, you have Texas, and now we're looking into Austin, right? We're looking at El Paso as kind of like with the facility as like our training ground for kids to come in and to work and to train. And how do we start reaching out to universities around the US to say, hey, look, this is what you get from an FC Premier player. this is what you get, right? Integrity, they're going to honor their commitment. Okay. So we're at that stage right now where we're trying to create that so we can say, hey, look, we've got it in place to create a select team if we want to, right? And we are. Your daughter is part of that right now. We are creating that right now. It's a fabulous team with Texas and El Paso and Austin that we're creating. And we're needing to find that opportunity for the other teams within our club. So we do believe that, I always tell the girls and boys this, hey, look, you go watch a soccer game. If you're a coach, you know, one of the first things we always ask ourselves is the ball controlling the individual or is the individual controlling the ball? And so we start realizing, hey, well, maybe implementing all these systems isn't worth the time if your individual can't control the ball. So we're going to maintain the focus on the development of the individual, but also really challenge them differently through books, through games. You'll see that some of the messages that I sent out to the clubs, it was to watch certain games, right? It was to watch inspirational stories about athletes in general, right? It's trying to engage them differently. It feels good when you ask a group of kids who wants to play in college and they all raise their hand, right? You know, if I brought in Hector Cano right away to give the truth there, you know, they're going to be surprised. Their eyes are going to open big and say, what? There's a 30% chance I'm going to like follow through with this. We need to continue developing our coaches. Therefore, that will translate into the individual. We do believe the creativity will come out a little bit more that way and really give these kids an understanding just of soccer acumen in general. So that's where we're headed for the future. And hopefully we find some darn places to play. Yeah. That's important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've come this far, and I think it's the light at the end of the tunnel seems to be the most common phrase used, because it's, I think it's pretty accurate. You know, I think it's just, we've for the most part, not all of us, because there's been a lot of knuckleheads as well, but generally speaking, for the most part, there's been a lot of people have been smart and they've been patient this far. Now it's just a matter of finishing it out, right? So hopefully yeah. we'll be there soon. So that's well said. So I do have one recommendation for your future book club there. One that I'm about to dive into. I'm literally starting it tomorrow. Just arrived today. It's called So Don't Believe It's Over by Ariel Krakowski. So she's got it's a fascinating story that goes back, I think, about 8-9 years back. Excuse me. She went from being, this is for UCLA women's soccer. She was a student there. She went from being the team manager to being a walk-on and then being a major contributor and winning a national title there. So pretty awesome book, kind of in terms of inspirational stories. So that's one that I'll throw out there. Just a thought.
We'll make our second book that we dive into. Okay. I'm going to hold you to that one.
There you go. All right. So, well, coach, I appreciate everything. Gave us a lot of really, really great info. And one of the things that I really liked that you mentioned about FC Premier and what you all are about as a club and what a college coach can expect to get from a player with FC Premier is the first thing you led with. It wasn't technical capability. It wasn't tactical understanding. It wasn't soccer IQ. It was integrity, which should mean a lot and which should go noticed more and it shouldn't go unnoticed. So that's why I pointed out. So, all right. Well, coach, I know you're going to stick around with us for our next segment, our counterattack segment, where we get to pick on you a little bit and have some fun. So our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. All right. And we're back. Welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partners, Physical Athletics. Make sure you check them out on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's athletic singular, and it's physical spelled FYZICAL at Physical Athletic. And you can also check them out at their website at physicalathletics.com. All right, so we're back with Coach Paul Rosales, director of FC Premier Texas. FC Premier Texas is the only affiliate in Texas based out of the original FC Premier, which is based out of California. So next segment, counterattack segment. Coach, you ready?
Let's go.
All right. First one, pregame as a coach, not so much as a player, but now as a coach, pregame or postgame rituals. What do you got?
Relax, take some deep breaths. It's yoga. Pregame is yoga. I don't know if you ever seen me do that with some of the girls, but it's yoga. We do yoga and I notice people are looking at us like, what are they doing? That's the ritual. Just trying to get everyone to relax, starting with me.
All right. Good deal. No post game. No post game.
Oh man. You know, a post game typically involves a long day of soccer. So it's just, all right. Get back and enjoy the family.
Okay. Good deal. All right. So, other sport, you would have coached if not soccer, or maybe you have coached.
Yeah. Well, it's a close tie between football and basketball. Played football in college, so know a lot about it. But I think it would probably be football because I've seen myself even outside at Franklin High School one time working with this young man who was a quarterback for the high school, and I noticed his drop back right away. So I went over to talk to him, and I thought, oh geez, shut up, Paul, just just play. So yeah, football, right. American football.
Okay, all right. And full disclosure as well, I know you, since you mentioned it there, Coach Paul did play college football at MSU, correct? New Mexico State University, is that right? Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, all right. So, I thought we should still put that plug in there as well. So, well-versed in, so when you talk about multi-sport athletes, you're it. All right, so other, and this one you kind of hit on, but I didn't want to mention it unless you mention it. Other profession you would have done if not being a coach, because you kind of already fit this. You could easily say what you also do, but I was leaving that one up to you.
Yeah, you know, like people are always surprised. They think I'm a coach full time, but I'm a State Farm agent. I sell insurance. That's what I do.
Yeah. All right. Good deal. So no other profession though? If not, if we took State Farm away and soccer coach, another profession?
Oh my gosh, I'm like having a brain freeze here. If you took soccer away, I don't know. Like my wife says, that's so much of your life right now. I can't see myself doing anything other than that right now. What did I allude to earlier? American football or what?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Favorite Netflix series or show you've been able to binge watch during the pandemic?
Wow, there's so many of them, but one of the most recent ones that my wife and I loved was Ted Lasso on Apple TV, right? Yeah. also Schitt's Creek, that one. Yeah.
Well, that was one of my later questions, but I guess you answered it already. It was going to be one of my soccer series questions was All or Nothing Tottenham, Sunderland Till I Die Season 2, and Ted Lasso, which one? So, but I think you already answered that, right?
So, yes, I did.
Yeah, you already answered.
Love it.
All right. So next one, favorite and least favorite soccer team, professional club, college, whatever. And you can't say FC Premier.
Come on. You know, not everyone really gives MLS a fair shake, man. And some of the most recent games that I've gone to see are LAFC, and I just love the energy there in the stadium. I really do. We've been to so many games there, and they've kind of grown dear to my heart. You can't beat the colors with the black and gold, and just it's such a fun experience. So I'd say just right now, I'm going to go with an MLS team. Surprise, right? Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I hate LA Galaxy because my family really likes LA Galaxy, but Hector, I'm being very honest when I say I don't hate another team. Because I really do respect whatever style it is that someone's trying to play and the time and effort a coach is putting into it. You know, I may not watch it, but I'll respect
right.
it.
Right. No, I hear you on the LAFC. They are very fun to watch. And I've kind of grown a little fond of them. So, I could hear you. And yeah, I dig that black and gold too. I dig that black and gold. You can tell they're another, I guess, Atlanta United in terms of a very ambitious club, which is always good. It's good for the game here in America, for sure. All right, so non-soccer, all right. What is your favorite and least favorite any other sport, professional, college, what have you, non-soccer teams?
Non-soccer teams. My favorite team. I would have to say the Lakers. No, I was a big.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the 50/50 podcast.
San Antonio Spurs. I'm sorry.
You are the third. You are the third bandwagon. I mean, Lakers fan on this podcast.
Hey, no. Let me make something. When I was a little kid,
did I say bandwagon? I meant Lakers.
Yeah. KTLA was a station out in El Paso, Texas, and I grew up watching Magic Johnson and Kareem, and that's the team I loved. And then I did like Shaq and Kobe together, but I can't say that they've been my favorite recently. But that's probably my favorite. Least favorite team. Gosh, that's hard. You know, I'm a Cowboy fan in a way, but the...
And welcome back to the 50/50 podcast. Thank you for...
Yeah, but
we're back on the air. Yeah,
there's a lot of frustrations there.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me.
Direction of the club. So sometimes they wind up being my least favorite team.
Yeah, yeah, tell me about it. Being a Cowboys fan as well. Yeah, it's... Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the Lakers too, because I was having this on a few episodes back, episode 4, I think it was. We had coach Randy Waldrum, who's, you know, he's the head women's soccer coach at Pitt. He's the head coach for the Nigerian women's national team. And he's, you know, he's a Texas boy as well. But he said the Lakers were his favorite team, but primarily attributed to the 80s Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, right, with Magic Johnson. And I told him, it's like, look, I'm a diehard. I've been a San Antonio Spurs fan my whole life. But, yeah, my favorite player is Magic Johnson for that same reason. So I get it. Yeah. So
there you go, man.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a bandwagon guy.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. All right. All right. So next one, secret talent, hidden talent.
Man, you know what? I'm a string instrument player, man. I could hear any song and play it on a viola, violin. I love music. I love recently drums have kind of come into my life. Our coaching director in FC Premier Texas has a set of drums, and I just love music. My dad was a professional musician, played with very famous people, James Brown, name them, he played rhythm and blues. And so wow. He really hammered us with music and made us study classically. But I would always revert back to hearing a song and wanting to play it by ear. So it's music, man. Like, yeah, I love playing. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Good. Yeah. Good to know. I did not know that. Yeah. I guess that's why they call it a secret talent. All right. Next one. So this is a different one. So see if you can recall this. Most random thought while you're coaching a game, most random thought that has entered your mind during a game.
Why the hell isn't Hector over here on the sideline with me? Honestly, that's passed through my mind multiple times. The most random thought was, man, I could really go for a brownie right now.
There you go. Yeah. Good old brownie. All right. Yeah. Okay. And our last one here is post-pandemic, right? We're back to normal, so to speak. It's Sunday dinner. All right. You have family, friends, family from out of town, wherever, everybody's coming over. You're the host. You're the chef. What are you cooking? Mm.
You know, I'm really big on barbecue, and I love smoking meats. That's just somewhat a passion of mine. So I would say, that I would be making some beef ribs, smoking some beef ribs, some good potato salad or tater salad, whatever you want to call it.
There you go.
Right. We would probably do some chicken, right? And we would do some bread from my father-in-law's bakery. And I would give an option for sandwiches, but we would make some really good beans. I know how to make some really good beans. And we would get sick with smoked food, man.
That's like what we do. Yeah, there you go. I like it.
Yeah, you remember that, because I'll invite you over.
I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely, you got my number. All right, so hey, Coach, thank you for joining us. This has been great. You gave a lot of really great info, a lot of really good kind of organic, you know, not organic, I should say, but kind of heartfelt, you know, speaking from the heart. And I sincerely appreciate that. We appreciate you joining us here on the 50/50 podcast. Any last thoughts that you want to share with listeners, and also, you know, social media websites where, anybody wants to get more information on FC Premier Texas, where can we find you?
Yeah. You know, if you want to find us online, social media, platform, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's FC Premier, El Paso is what you can, 97. That's the year that the club started in California, but you can, you know, reach out to us there. There's contact information. You can get to our website. You can send me a personal message. There's also some people that I do want to thank, starting with you, because you really opened my eyes to a different way of thinking about soccer and how just a major part it is in people's lives, and how we should go about continuing to give kids opportunities and finding opportunities for them and not giving up. And, you know, I look probably no further away than your daughter, Salma. Your little one's going to be a beast. You know that. I mean, and that team, I was just telling our coaching director, that team is going to be crazy good, like when they're older, just because they're getting this core from 4 years of age, and now, you know, they're getting older. But I look at your daughter, who's kind of, I know the stories, you know, but she seems to have found a level of comfortableness with us. And, you know, our job is to try and make her feel a little uncomfortable now, right, so we can challenge her differently. But I'm proud that we can find people that maybe at one time maybe just wanted to give up on something, and then help them reignite that passion. So thank you. And thank you for allowing us to train your children. We appreciate that. I wish I had time to tell a story about you and I, but you know what it really meant to you and to me to connect that way and put my son through a long conversation with you and I to say, hey, let's figure out something together. And then I'd like to thank my, most importantly, it would be my wife, because she stands behind me through this whole soccer endeavor. And she's so supportive of what we do, because she does believe that what we're doing is for just to provide something different. And I can't even say better, just provide something different for kids that want to try something different. I love the coaches that we have. Coach Mondo, you know, very patient, very technical. Everyone that's out, that's part of this club, has been so instrumental. And our guys in Austin, I got to say hello to Coach Jeff and Coach Sean in Footwork Labs, Texas. You'll see in February when these guys come and we work together, the technicality of the game, the understanding of the game, you'll see the coaches performing some high level stuff. We've just got something great brewing. I promise you that. And we are so excited to embark on this new endeavor. I don't want to get caught talking too much about this, but I do appreciate that anyone that's ever given us their time to allow us to train their kids. And that goes to all our parents out there. We recently, did you get my memo the other day, by the way? I want to make a, went to your wife's email. We recently sent out an email that stated, we're going to go ahead and, one of our coaches' wife is in the medical field, and she has.
I did see that. Yes.
So we're, you know, proud to allow our club parents to sign up and register for the COVID vaccine. You know, that's part of the light at the end of the tunnel. So I hope, well, you're an educator. Thank you to you all, because you're trying to do something that's just never been done before. I could go on and on and on. There's just so many people that are involved directly or indirectly. And I'm just appreciative of that. And if you truly know me, you'll know that I'll spend my time talking to anyone that wants to listen and that wants to teach too. I'm excited, Hector. I'm excited that you gave me an opportunity to be part of your show. It's an amazing show. I would invite other people to dial in and listen, because you're going to learn a lot. I personally have learned a lot from this individual, because he's part of my life, it's part of my conversations. And if you're not dialing in to listen to this podcast, I'm sorry, that's a German time, by the way. we're not hacked. Then you're missing out on some greatness, because I do believe that Coach Kano really, really is well-versed in life. And you just throw soccer in there, and he's great at that too. And thank you for your time.
Well, that's great stuff, Coach. I appreciate that, and very kind words of you by you, and likewise, feeling is mutual, and all those kind words, they're greatly appreciated, and I forgive you for being a Lakers fan. So
you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to a Laker game, and we'll have a little bet. We'll do the Spurs and Lakers, and the loser is going to have to wear the other team's jersey for, I don't know, a week. That sound good?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, bring it. Hey, where I do notice. I notice you want to do that now that the Spurs are in a rebuild. But hey, you sure.
Let me be very honest with something. Favorite coach? You want to know my favorite coaches?
I know. It's Mr. Pop, Coach Pop, yes. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Amazing to do what he's doing in San Antonio.
Another Air Force Academy guy. What can I say? Another Air Force Academy guy. What can I say?
Hey, you know what, Hector? Great. I mean, that is an amazing coach. So. Can I just say one last thing? Because if I don't get the chance to say this, I'm going to regret this.
Absolutely.
My kids, I love that book. Yeah. My kids, Arabella, she's 13, Asher's 10, or Archer, like you like to call them. they were the reasons I started the club. And I quickly realized that there's a lot of kids out there that are just like them, and they want these opportunities. And I love them dearly for, they know dad puts a lot of time into this, and they are willing to go along for this journey. And I do believe they're learning some life lessons, and they're fabulous players. I know they are, and I don't get to ever tell them that enough. Last thing you ever want to do as a coach of your club is hand your own child an award, right? and I'm not saying they always deserve it, but you know, there's times that they do, and they just know, like, hey, you know what, dad is out there to try and help other kids realize their potential, and the maturity level of them is it's higher than I ever thought it would be at this age. And I attribute that a lot to how my wife and I bring them up, and I'm just super proud of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you should be. They're tremendous kids. They're great kids. So I'm glad you put that out there as well and didn't forget them. And as well as your wife, you know, your wife being in the medical field, being a nurse, you talk about frontline stuff. So thank you to her. And yeah, everything you've hit on in terms of the club, the coaches, I mean, even the parents, this club is blessed with great parents as well. So, so yeah, for sure. Coach, thank you again. Thank you again for your time. We sincerely appreciate it for joining us on the 50/50 podcast. And hopefully we can get you on here again as a reoccurring guest in a few months.
Would love to do it. Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
All right, don't go anywhere, our listeners. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.